Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to read, start in 2 Kings chapter 6. And when I read this, it's sort of like I find myself in this situation, you know, sometimes every day. And, you know, maybe not in such a degree that this was happening to Elisha, but definitely because we're in the world system and it feels like we're being attacked, you know, or things don't necessarily go the way we want them to go. Or, you know, I've been walking on trails in the woods and sometimes there's ice and you're just walking on sheets of ice and it's hard to walk fast. You got to be very careful and walk real slow. And you don't want to walk slow. You want to run. So this is a really good scripture. It says, 2 Kings, we're going to start in verse 8, chapter 6, verse 8. And it's about Elisha. And what was happening was the king of Syria was trying to get the advantage on Israel. And the Spirit of the Lord, because the Spirit of the Lord was on Elisha, would tell him what the king was doing. So finally the king got so fed up with this that he said, I'm going to go and take my army and sneak up on Elijah. You know, how can you sneak up on somebody who already knows what you're doing? But it says, verse 8, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, which was Elisha, saying, beware that you don't pass this way, for the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? He thought there was a spy in his midst, because everything he did was like Elisha knew. And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber. See, if you need to know something that God knows, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and he'll reveal that to you. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Okay, and this is the part I really like. And when the servant of the man of God, so Elisha's servant, had gone forth, and he looked, and a host surrounded the city, both with horses and chariots, and a servant said unto him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Well, the servant and Elisha answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray you, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opens the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountains were full of horse and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So, you know, at times we think, wow, I'm in a mess, you know, or things aren't going right. And, you know, sometimes we just think we're surrounded by the enemy. But I tell you, when it looks like you're surrounded, you're really surrounded by the Lord. You're surrounded by God everywhere you go. You know, when the enemy comes and you know he's there and you think, wow, this is a bad situation, just remember God is surrounding you. In Psalm 23, verse 5, it says, it's a psalm of David, and it's a shepherd's song, psalm. And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then in verse 5 it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Wow, what does that look like? You know, when we say that to the Lord, you prepare a table. It's like, It's like Kathy makes this great meal, and then everybody in church sits down, and we're all eating, and all our enemies are looking on. It says, you prepare a table, you know, and on the Lord's table is all the good things. You know, in a way, the table is our lives, and the Lord has prepared in our lives good things, you know, healing, health, deliverance, salvation, provision for everything that we need, you know, the ability to have families, the ability to just know our Creator, the ability to communicate. You know, He has prepared a table for us. And if our enemies are looking on, it doesn't matter. It says, you anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. So blessing is for us. God has meant blessing for us, for His children. Does that sound good? Amen. And on this table, you know, if you go to the New Testament, you talk about the Lord's table. And He said in 1 Corinthians 11, you know, if we talk about the bread and the wine, it says, when Jesus had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So we think about the Lord. In the Lord's Supper, Jesus says, this do as often as you'd like in remembrance of me, in the remembrance of Him going to the cross and dying. So I have a piece of matzah bread, and it says, Jesus says His body was broken. Hopefully it won't make a mess on the floor, which I already did. So got to be careful, because this is the Lord's body, and we're just breaking it very gently. Is that what the Romans did? Did they take His body and break it very gently? No, it says His body was broken. Hopefully I'll have somebody to clean this up afterwards. Actually, His body was crushed, is broken for us. You know, and the reason, you know, these are some things I want to bring up tonight, because we have weapons to fight this battle that we're in. So, you know, to when we're on this earth, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, standing fast, you know, taking up the full armor of God. So we're fighting a battle. And God's given us certain things that are part of our weapons. And part of our weapons is the body of Christ. Because if we need healing, we can go before God and say, Jesus' body was broken for us. You know, the Father is not going to say, well, maybe this time I'm not going to heal that person. No, that's the whole reason Jesus' body was broken, was so that we could get healing, so we could get deliverance, we could be free in our minds. We can be like what God wants us to be. And verse 25, it says, after the same manner also He took the cup which He had drank from, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. So basically, you know, He's saying, this is my blood. You know, it represented the blood that He shed on the cross for our sins, the blood He shed on our cross for full and complete deliverance. You know, those lambs, many lambs were slaughtered on Passover. Many lambs were slaughtered for that blood to go on the altar. And Jesus became that lamb that was slaughtered to take away the sin of the world. There's power in that blood. In fact, the blood is so powerful that when Jesus took it to the mercy seat in heaven, it totally forgave all humankind's sins. You know, He put that blood. So that's part of our weapons. The body, the crushed body, and the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes. So you're showing the Lord's death in your body, in your life, and you're saying, yeah, this is mine. Hallelujah. So his body was broken for you, his blood was shed for you. Okay, Psalm 8:2 says, out of the mouth of babies and sucklings have you ordained strength because of my enemies, that you might still the avenger, still the enemy, and the avenger. So, you know, when I look at that, it's not totally clear because babies don't say a lot, you know. But Jesus quoted that scripture in Matthew 21, verse 16, and he quoted it slightly different. And he said unto them, hear what these say. And Jesus said unto them, yes, have you never read out of the mouth and babes and sucklings you have perfected praise? So praise is part of the things that God has given us to still the enemy and quiet the avenger. You know, when we praise, it's not like, oh, there's a Christian, the devil's like looking at us and saying, oh, there's a Christian praising God. I'm going to go over and step all over his life. He can't even come near us because it's like one time Israel was in so much trouble and they were going to be invaded, and God told them, well, send the army out. But in front of the army, put the praisers. The praisers are, I don't know if they were carrying swords or weapons. Maybe they're just carrying their instruments. But they went and praised God with a loud voice. I tell you, if Austin's the enemy, I'd want to like sneak up on him. I wouldn't want to say anything. Tiptoe. But when you praise God, you're praising God with a loud voice. You're not ashamed to give God thanks. And you're thanking him for his greatness and everything he's done in your lives. And kind of the brother to that is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the track on which faith carries its mighty load. You know, when we start out in faith, it's like there's many times I've started trusting God during a worship service for something that I need in my life. And it's a high, and I'm starting out in faith. But when I walk out the door, how I continue on that faith track is I thank God for the answer that he's promised to us in his word. So praise and thanksgiving are very needed. It says, Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In fact, in Deuteronomy 28, part of the reason the curse came on the Israelites is because they weren't thankful for all the good things that God had given them. And so every now and then when I think of that scripture, I just like say, thank God for this. Thank God for this. Thank God for this house. Thank God for this running water. You know, I just don't want to be, I don't want to take things for granted. Well, this goodness has been here for last 30 years and it's going to continue for the next 30 because I'm so good or I'm so smart. No, I just want to thank God because I know where all the good things come from. And I know, and I want to serve him, and I want to be grateful to him. And so that's my way of saying thank you, Jesus. Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. So it seems like that should be part of our life. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So these are part of our weapons that we use in our battle. You know, when we think the enemy or we sense the enemy comes in like a flood, God's given us these things so the Holy Spirit can raise up a standard against him. No matter what comes our way, no matter what temptations are there, we can have the victory. And I do want to mention, if we miss it, there's always forgiveness, and we can start again the next day or the next moment, you know. So these are the way we really fight our battles. You know, the job needs to get done. This is how we do it. You know, there's no playing around. You know, when we start worship, it was like tonight. It was like, Jesus, where are you? And I knew he was here, but it's like I just didn't sense it right away. But faith says, yeah, where two or three are gathered together in the midst of us, that's where Jesus is. So, you know, as we progressed into it, it's just like that sweet presence just kind of like rolled in. It's like, wow, I don't even need to say anything. I just need to wait on the Lord. And it just was so good. It's like I felt like a warm blanket kind of wrapped around me. It's just that whole feeling in the soul, like everything is okay. You know, that's the peace of God. You know, the next thing is in John 14. And we sing songs about the name of Jesus all the time. And the name of Jesus is so powerful. And, you know, in the natural, the name Christina is beautiful to me. You know, because that's my wife. That's the one I pledged my heart to in this life. You know, and the name of Jesus is even more sweeter. You know, it's the most sweetest thing that you could ever say. Jesus, I love you. You know, and there's power in that name. It says that name is so powerful that every knee will bow in heaven and earth. Now, our knees will bow willingly. Like, yeah, I do want to bow. Yeah, because he's my Savior. He's my person that won the victory for me. He's my warrior. He's my champion. When there was nobody else in my corner, he fought for me. So we know that. But the name of Jesus is so powerful, it can make any devil in hell bow. And when you use the name of Jesus, the enemy cannot say, well, the name of Jesus, that doesn't mean a whole lot. I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. No, it stops. Whatever the enemy is trying to do, it just stops. Because that name is the most powerful name in the universe. So John 14:12 says, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. It's like, does that even seem real? Whatever you ask in my name, I will do. Wow, that's, you know, that's powerful, because we can't say that because we have limited resources. But this is God saying it. He has unlimited resources, and through Jesus Christ, you know that's how that's done. Faith in that name, you know, and plus that speaks to the fact that, you know, there's some people in the church that I know fairly well that if I said, hey, can I borrow your car, they would do it. You know, it would be like, no doubt. Well, you have to be pretty good friends with somebody for them to do that. Okay, you have to be pretty good friends with God for God to say to you, whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do. Wow, that's amazing. I got a message. All right. Okay. I got a really good video. Are you ready up there? Hallelujah. This is a song that I've just kind of grown to like recently, and I like it. It's not the song that gives us the victory, but it's the principles in the song that I've talked about tonight. And so I just ask you to open up your heart. You could see, like in the back, there's a screen. Sometimes they have the words on there. You can see them, but they repeat a lot of stuff. So, you know, you can catch on to the words pretty fast. So go ahead, Courtney. We have the victory. You have emptied heaven to give your grace to us, to give Jesus to us. And Lord, we're going to fulfill the calling you called us to do. Every one of us, we're going to do all fully what you've asked us to do. And Father, we're going to stand before you one day and we're going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Because we're not only hearers of the word, but we're doers only. And we just thank you. Thank you for Jesus, your son. Thank you for sending him. Thank you for redeeming us and giving us the victory. In Jesus' name, amen.